Good morning, church. How you doing this morning? Yeah, there's some energy in the room. Man, it is a gift to be with you. And it matters that you decided to be here today. The first part of a seven-part series, that's a big series, a seven-part series on the path of a disciple. Right? Because when we come to be a part of this community, we have to know and understand first and foremost that we're here to follow Jesus and to help each other follow Jesus. Amen? But it's not always easy to know, what is the path of a disciple? What does the path of a disciple look like? Maybe some days it looks like this, right? The path of a disciple could look like the steps being really clear and firm, laid out before us. All we have to do is start walking, right? But other days, maybe it looks a little bit more like this next picture, right? Right, where maybe it's not a choice between something really good and something really awful, but it's like good, better, and best, and we really need to hear from the Lord to know, man, where are you leading us? And some days it's clear enough, like this next one. We can see the way in and the way out. We just wish that maybe the way Jesus was leading us was a little more, shall we say, efficient. And some days we wake up and we're super excited to follow God because we have an epic path laid out before us, like this next one. Isn't that cool? Or maybe it's beautiful and mysterious like this. Yeah, don't you just want to walk down that path and see where it leads? Some days following Jesus is like that. But other days, it's kind of like this. Awesome. Kind of basic and simple, right? You know, no one's recording it. No one's throwing it up on social media. It's not real flashy or exciting. It's just about faithfulness, and we're going somewhere. We're doing little things with great love. Someday, the path of Jesus kind of looks like this. Oh, that's like very pixely. It's not super clear, but it seems like he's leading us to a place of repose and rest, right? Like maybe he's inviting us to lie down for a while, take a breather. And then the moment we wake up and we feel refreshed and rejuvenated, that very same Jesus is like, now how about we go here? Right? Right? Good luck surviving. Either way, we're probably going to think Jesus is crazy, because for most of us, rest and stillness is just as terrifying as risk and adventure. He has a way of leading us up to the edge of ourselves, kind of like this. Right? You ready to dive in? And sometimes he's taking us deeper down, sometimes further up and further in. But if at any point along the way we begin to feel like, you know, we got this, we can figure this out. I've been to enough sermons, and I've been to enough churches, and I've listened to enough podcasts, and I know enough ministry stuff to be religious enough to kind of do this on my own strength, then the path starts to look a little bit like this. Some of you are like, oh, it's a little too real right now. Yeah. I mean, at New Life Church, we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church who lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. Vibrant is Christ alive in us. Does this look vibrant to you? Reproducing is Christ alive in others. Would you wish this upon the person sitting next to you? Hopefully not. Everybody's wondering, I don't know. All right. You see, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Great Commission to and to love your neighbors yourself. And the Great Commission is to make disciples of Jesus. We're called to do those things, but we are not called, listen, we're not called to do those things like this. I've seen too many times, it's sad for me to see too many times that someone comes here maybe as a college student and they thrive while they're here and things are going really well, but they graduate and then this happens, they fall on their face. And I'm not blaming people who've done that. If anything, I want to press us farther and personally farther into a place of repentance this morning. You see, at New Life, we have long had a leadership development culture. And I've been so blessed by that. I've learned a ton as a leader. I've gotten to be around people who are leading me and teaching me new things. And I think that's great. And I think we need to keep leadership as a part of the church and leadership development as a part of the church. But when we elevate leadership development above making disciples of Jesus, bad things start to happen. We hurt people in the short term and in the long term. Right? Because
leader and disciple begin to be the same thing, such that we feel like, well, if we're not a leader, or maybe doing a specific leadership role like a small group leader, well, then I guess we're not really following Jesus. Or I have to be a leader, I have to be in one of those roles if I want to be discipled, if I want to learn to follow Jesus. And so we get plugged into a leadership pipeline, into a system of growing as a leader, and we have someone to teach us how to lead, and we have a system to be in, and a ministry way of doing things, and then we graduate, and all of a sudden all that stuff's gone, and we never learned how to hear the voice of God. And so, boom. Discipleship and following Jesus should not look like this. It should look like this next slide. It should be vibrant. It should be each one of us walking with Jesus and walking with one another, knowing that everyone here needs to grow and learn how to disciple and be a disciple and follower of Jesus, and we need everyone here to help us do that. There's a young man that came up to me from New Life Kids last week, and he handed me a note that said, to the pastors, although I haven't shown it to the pastors, I've just been hoarding it for myself so far. And it said, all it said was, thank you for teaching us about God. And I wept. It was so sweet, and it was discipleship from my heart, from a kid in our midst, a child in our midst, that a little bit better glimpse of how God sees me. He was building the church up in love, and I'm so thankful for that. We dream of equipping for life here at New Life Church, not just for a few years. And a part of that is to unveil a discipleship pathway that we can learn and apply, that each believer can learn and apply to see a foundation for the lifestyles of worship, community, and mission laid in their lives. And today we're going to reveal to you what we've been hearing from the Lord. But first, let's pray. Father, thanks that you speak to your people. Lead us deeper into repentance, deeper into reliance on you and not on ourselves. Teach us to hear your voice, to obey your voice, and to be together as we walk with you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I'm not going to make you wait today. Let me show you a little template here, all right? This isn't very much. See, the discipleship pathway is literally a verse, which we'll get to that too. It's a verse, it's three lifestyles, it's two habits connected with each lifestyle, and it's two ongoing actions connected with two habits. And it encompasses all of life. It's not something that only the really spiritual people can do. Everyone from the little kids in our midst, growing up to any stage of life, we can learn and apply a discipleship pathway. It is exactly one verse, three lifestyles, six habits, 12 ongoing actions. That is the content. Why lifestyles? Because a disciple is someone who embodies a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. And what is this verse? Well, the verse is to remind us whose life it is we're multiplying. Not the life of the leader, not the life of the super spiritual person, not our own lives at all. We're here to embody Christ alive in us and to multiply the life of Christ. And so let me start with this verse, which is the all-encompassing part of the discipleship pathway. The verse is this. Okay, all right, there it is. All right, there it is again. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. We no longer live for ourselves. So why are we pursuing this? Because we want to do something really cool on our own? No, because we want to see the life of Christ glorified in us. And so what's the rest of the pathway content? I'm going to take you through it real quick. First, it's a lifestyle of worship. Worship is living devoted. Is it up there? Is it behind me? Yes. Worship is living devoted. What does that mean? Well, it means we remain in the gospel and we are renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. Those are the habits. And, well, how do we remain in the gospel? Well, how can we do that? Well, we can confess and repent of sin and receive God's grace. We can ask someone else to share truths of the gospel with us. Well, how are we renewed by the Spirit through Scripture and prayer? How can we do that? Well, we can talk with God throughout the day. We can do that. And we can read Scripture to know God and take a step to obey Him. It's a worship lifestyle. Well, what about community? Well, community is living committed. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means we live life with a local church and we build one another up in love, right? That's not a New Life-centric thing. You could do that anywhere. We live life with the local church. Well, how do we do that? Well, we share our life, time, and possessions with a brother or sister in Christ. And we join in the life and rhythms of the community, right? We're committed. We're a part of things. Well, how do we build one another up in love? Well, we can say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ. And this is where spiritual gifts come in, right? Like, what are the unique ways God has made us to say or do something to serve one another in the context of this community, to build us up in love? And we can forgive and apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. Imagine if we did that, if we didn't let anything between us except for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're committed to resolving conflict with one another. Also, mission as a lifestyle. What is that? It's living sent. And what does that mean? Well, it means we love our neighbors and we make disciples of Jesus. Well, how do we love our neighbors? Well, we can get to know someone outside of the church well enough to serve them, and we can go out of our way to serve a friend outside the church. Notice how we've gotten well enough to know them to call them friend, right? Go out of our way to serve a friend outside the church. And it's making disciples. Well, how do we make disciples of Jesus? Well, we tell someone, we show someone who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he is impacting our own life. You hear our testimony in there? And we start doing these actions with someone else. Do you see how everything pivots on that last one? We start doing these actions with someone else. This is the content of the discipleship pathway. You just heard all of it. Yes! But as I have said awkwardly many times this week to people, this is information. And information doth not disciples maketh. It doth not. This is lifestyles, habits, and actions in this verse because we want to remember the verse, the life of Christ in us, and we believe that ongoing actions form habits, and habits that we emphasize become a way of life. That's why it's set up the way that it is. But this, if we try to do it on our own, will end up looking like this. Yeah? If it's just in 3 weeks, we're going to be this guy, right? If it's just we're just going through the what of discipleship, trying to get through it as fast as possible. This is not a race to be run in an instant and be finished with. This is something that we walk out our entire lives. So today is at least in part about the how of discipleship. If this is the what is the how of discipleship? How do we be disciples and make disciples? Let's look at the word of God in Matthew chapter 13. It says this. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. It's important. They had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, I love this, whoever has ears, let them hear. The how of the discipleship begins like this. We need to hear from God. We cannot follow someone that we cannot hear from. And I'm here to tell you today that you can hear the voice of God. You can. God speaks through his creation. Will we listen? He speaks through his word. Will you read it? He has placed his Holy Spirit within you if you have come to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that Spirit is God. the very presence of God in you, and he promises that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. God speaks, and you can hear. There is nothing wrong with your ears. You can hear God's voice. But how many times do we convince ourselves, well, that was probably just my, I just haven't thought. That's probably not really God's voice. Or we doubt. But what if we weren't perfect examples of how to hear from God, but what if we were living examples? We knew that he did speak and that we could hear, and so we were bound to stop long enough to listen and to act upon what we heard. Jesus goes on with his disciples, and he said, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." And then he interprets the parable for them. In verse 18, he says, "This is the parable of the sower. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30." I remember reading this and thinking, so often this is what happens with people who come through here for a short while. They receive the word with joy because they love the community or they like the music or whatever it is. But if they leave and they have no root in themselves, the trials and tribulations of this world scorch their faith and they fall flat on their face. Because whether or not we thrive doesn't depend on where we're planted. It depends on what's planted in us. Whether or not we thrive doesn't depend on where we're planted. It depends on what has been planted within us. But then the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, takes it in, and by obedience bears much fruit. So how do we be disciples and make disciples? Not only must we hear from God, but we must obey God. Because if we hear from him, but we're not obeying, well, then we're not really following him, right? So this is an essential point. After we find out that God has gotten our attention, the next question to ask is, well, how am I going to respond? How am I going to respond? So I don't know if you've begun to notice, but we're working on an H and an O here for the how of discipleship. So really hoping the last one's a W. This isn't meant to just be a clever acronym. These things aren't forced. They are what it means to be a disciple, the how, and to make disciples. If any one of these is missing, then we're not doing that. So let's see what this next point is. One thing you'll notice if you read the Gospel of Matthew, and particularly Matthew 13, is that Jesus keeps speaking in parables, and not everyone can understand what he's talking about. But then you see verses like this. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable." And then invariably, Jesus explains the parable to them in no uncertain language. He moves out of parable phase and into just concrete language. And you see in this that to be a disciple, you need to be with Jesus. And to make disciples, you need to be with others too. You see, if you're hearing from God and you're obeying God, but you do that, that's kind of being with Jesus, right? But then if you just do that and you're never with anyone else, you're not making disciples. We have to hear from God, obey God, and be with others. I like the word withness, because withness is witness. It is an opportunity to see. And so I wonder, what if we were a church who woke up every morning and listened for the voice of God and heard from the Father? And what if we obeyed what we heard, and what if we did that together? I had a great moment this week. A sweet rebuke from the Lord Jesus And this really highlights the difference between a leadership culture and a discipleship culture, first and foremost. Leadership's great, but it should be within the context of a discipleship culture. So on Monday, I woke up, I was planning to go in later in the day. I was going to be sharing some vision with our staff team, excited, some direction about this series and where we're going with the discipleship pathway and all this. I was excited to lead into that. It felt important. I felt good about it. And I woke up, my wife was already at work, and so I was with my two boys, and my oldest sat down on the couch, and he said, "Dad, my stomach feels weird." And then he proceeded to puke. And short time after that. And this is the way I responded in my depth of spiritual godliness. Well, there goes the day. Internally, I'm like, well, everything's ruined. I wonder what's going to happen to church now. Can't go in. Can't share stuff with the staff team. Can't do my leadership plan. What's going to happen now to God's church? And I got just a sweetest reproof from Jesus. Hey, Kyle. This is your life. Does the discipleship pathway apply to this moment? Because if it doesn't, you're going the wrong way. See, I was focused not on following Jesus, but on giving people an opportunity to follow me. I was like, it's for this moment, Jesus. And he said, well, what are you going to do? And what I'm hearing from him is, well, say or do something to serve your son who is sick, to build him up in love. Is that the right work, Kyle? It's the right work. It's the right work. I can do that. I can love my son right now. Is that following me? Yes, that's following you. And I did, and I loved him. And also, I shared my life with others, and I asked for help, and my wife made some sacrifices too to free me up later in the day so I could still come to Ann Arbor. But what was reminding me is, look, discipleship is not about the perfect church program or plan or leadership. A culture is about, this is how we think, this is what we value, this is how we live our life in every moment. Every moment, that's the revolutionary change in this. Is we can hear from God, obey him, and include others in that obedience. You see, some days we'll wake up and doing this will feel epic and exciting. Some days it'll feel clear steps and we'll just have to walk in them. Some days we'll be standing there at that path looking around and thinking, man, I don't know what to do, God. What do you want me to do? And we'll just have to wait and listen or try something. And some days we'll wake up and it'll just be plain and simple and basic, and we're just going to try to be faithful. It's not going to be a flashy thing, right? Some days it'll be up and it'll be restful, because we'll just feel like, hey, I don't have to do more. I can rest with the Lord today. I can receive his grace. And other days it will lead us on a crazy adventure, but whatever the path of a disciple looks like, it at least looks like this. You know what this is? This is our King and Savior Jesus hearing from the Father and obeying the Father even to the point of death on a cross. And this is our God being with us in our suffering, with us in our loss, in our pain, in our grief, with us even in our worst moments, taking the punishment for our sin upon himself so that he could give us freedom and life and reconcile us to the Father forever, place his Holy Spirit within us that proclaims that we are children of God who do hear his voice, and we live differently in the world, not falling flat on our face, but standing up, holding his hands, walking in the vibrancy of true, unadulterated life with the King who loves us on the path of a disciple. Let's pray. God, it is a dangerous thing to listen for your voice. And it is an exciting thing to listen for your voice. As we step into the coming weeks, in the coming years, Lord, I pray that you would ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. That we would not treat this as the new thing we need to perform in, the new thing we need to do perfectly, but this would be the beginning of something. Where little by little you foster in us the willingness, the grace to be people who stop, pause, and listen for your voice, who believe we can hear, and who take what is given to us in word or image through your word and take small steps to obey, to follow you. And make us a people who include others in that, to live life with one another and with you, Jesus. We want to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.